So a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. If I can speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, as is inspired by God's love for us and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may have glory, but not have love, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride, it is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecoming. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Or it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, and as a prophecy, the gift of interpreting divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. For all knowledge is fragmentary, and all prophecy is fragmentary. But when the complete and perfect comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now that I have become a man, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. For now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, but them we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. And so faith, hope, and love abide, and conviction and belief respecting man's relation to God and divine things, hope, joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation, love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love.
This passage from 1 Corinthians 13. If there's ever a scripture passage I'm all over, this is the one. I have got this one down pat. My very first attempt at a sermon in seminary was based on 1 Corinthians 13. And this sermon is so memorably bad that one of my classmates, after not seeing me for 15 years, walked up to me and started quoting it. That's a bad sermon. My first wedding sermon, the first wedding I ever officiated, this was my passage. And this is where I came up with the oh-so-clever sermon title, sermon series title that we have, What's Love Got to Do with It? And as I planned today's sermon, I went back to one of my favorite all-time sermons, a sermon that I thought I was going to preach today. As I was studying once several years ago, I ended 1 Corinthians 12, the 12th chapter, where Paul says, I will show you a still more excellent way. And I said, what does he mean by that? And so I went back and looked. In that 12th chapter, Paul is telling us, you are a great church. He says, you have every spiritual gift. You are a great church, and you use them. And he lists all these wonderful spiritual gifts that the church has. And he just really builds them up. Now, I've been here a scant 2 months, and I have to tell you, I am amazed at the gifts of the Holy Spirit in this congregation. And too much, I've been astonished by the talents, the generosity and caring of this congregation as a whole, and so many individuals who make up this body of Christ, the church. And as Paul says, as he begins the 13th chapter, "And I will show you a still more excellent way, love." Be loving. Think loving thoughts. React lovingly. Show love in real ways. We are a great church. We are a great church. We do so much as a church and individuals. And make sure we do it. And as we do it, we don't leave out love. And you know what I mean. You do a loving act. Really think loving thoughts as you do those. In your actions, in your reactions, this is the hardest part for me, in my reactions, remember to love. But this isn't exactly the sermon I had in mind when I sat down to write. Someone nudged me to take the passage out of Bible Gateway, paste it into a Microsoft Word document, and do the replace cursor, put the cursor on replace, and substitute one word for another throughout the passage. Let's listen again to the word of love, I mean the word of God. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but not have God, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal." Now, wait a minute, Steve. I know some of you are saying, wait a minute. That passage is the love passage. This is Paul's great poem for love. The word is love. Agape. Love. Not God. I really am not cheating. Let's go back to the first letter of John. Chapter 4. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. God is love. And those who abide in his love abide in God, and God abides in them." Love, God, are the driving words of 1 Corinthians 13. But abide is the key word to this scripture. Abide, obey, observe, follow, hold on to, conform to, adhere to, stick to, stand by, act in accordance with, accept, respect, and defer to the love of God. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, if I'm the greatest preacher and orator in the history of the world, but do not abide in God and the love of God, I'm nothing but a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, if I can predict the future and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, if I could understand and tell you all about God in perfect theology, if I could tell you all the whole system of Einstein's theory of relativity, if I could get under the sink and actually understand and fix the plumbing, if I could do all that, but not have God. And if I have all faith, if I have every conviction in my heart so I can go out to Pike's Peak and pick it up and walk it over to the Pacific Ocean and drop it in, if I even have that, but not have God, I am nothing. Think about that. I am nothing without the without abiding in the love of God. And if I give away all my possessions, if I'm the best financial giver ever, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, if I'm killed for my opinions, but do not abide in God and the love of God, I gain nothing. God is patient. God is kind. God is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. As we make our best efforts to abide in God, as we obey and observe and follow, hold on to and conform to God, and adhere to and stick to God no matter what, and stand by God and act in accordance with and accept and respect and defer to the love of God, then we should always try to be in our own thoughts, in our words and in our actions, patient and kind and not envious or boastful. God does not insist on God's own way. God loves you. God is always offering you perfect love. Perfect love is what God is offering each and every one of us. But he isn't forcing it upon us. God does not force us to do anything. We can accept that love. And as we accept that love, we know that love. And as we act in godly ways, we reach out to other people to love and ask them to accept the love. But what if they don't? Again, we act in godly ways. We act in God's love. We abide in God's love. But if they reject our friendship, if they reject our church, if they reject that which we hold dear, our love, in our families, that which we hold the dearest is our families. They reject all of that. That's their decision. That is their decision. It's not for lack of trying or lack of loving. So the problem is not ours to carry around anymore. If someone rejects our love or our friendship or our church, we don't have to insist on them loving us, liking us, being with us. We don't have to get into a fight about it or walk around with the hurt of it. We just keep plugging away. Keep abiding in God's love. Keep showing that love. Keep thinking that love. Knowing that God loves you. God loves you. And God is always with you. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we read from 1 John 4. Those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. God abides in you. Returning to Corinthians, God is not irritable or resentful. God does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. 1 John 2 tells us, whoever says, I abide in God, ought to walk just as he walked. Walk in the truth and life. God bears all things. God may not like how we act sometimes. God may not like how I act a lot of times. But we are loved. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. God believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God doesn't give up on us. That was a great translation there, that God just doesn't give up on us. God never stops believing in us. God never stops hoping that we can love with godly love. God endures our rotten behaviors, continually loving us. And as we work really, really hard, to believe in the greatest truth ever, that the love of God abides in us. Listen to the second letter of John. The truth that abides and is with us forever never ends. God never ends. God never stops loving us. And hearkening back to our Presbyterian Church brief statement of faith that we read a couple weeks ago as well. Loving us still, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, God is faithful still. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will end. Even as great as we are, all our wonderful gifts will fade away. And we don't have to fear that. We don't have to fear the loss of our wonderfulness or our giftedness. God has a plan for us. God has a plan for you. And that ultimate plan, which we're only glimpsing at right now, is to love. We're only glimpsing and seeing it in this time and in this place. And in it just for a moment. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But as we know only in part, I need you to remember how we started this sermon series. In the beginning, God. And God created the heavens and the earth. And God calls the earth and all humanity and everything on this earth and in this universe into existence. And every day of creation, God said, "It is good." And in the sixth day, when he made the human beings and all creation, and creation was finished, God said, "It is very good." We are the good people of God. And we really do try to live out the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And as we abide in him, we can do, and we do great things. We are human, but being human, we tend to slip and fall. But you remember what Gavin read us last week from Psalm 94. "When I thought my foot is slipping, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul." And Paul writes in verse 10 of chapter 13, "When the complete comes, the partial will come to an end." The Apostle John said in his first letter, "Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you." What you heard from the beginning does abide in you. "Then you will abide in the Son and the Father." And this is what he has promised us, life eternal. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put away my childish ways. But we're still God's children. We're not childish, but we're still God's children. 1 John again. "Little children, now little children," John tells us, "little children, abide in him so that when he is revealed, we will have confidence." We will continue as a church and as individuals to use the marvelous gifts God has given us. And we will use them to the best of our abilities so that in our personal lives and as a church, we may abide in the love of God. Obey. Observe. Follow. Hold on to. Conform to. Adhere to. Stick to. Stand by. Act in accordance with. And accept. And respect. And always defer to the love of God. "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, as even as I have been known." We reflect the love of God. That's who we are. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. It's not our light, it's God's light showing through us. And as we reflect the light of the world, we reflect God's love to the world, God's perfect love. And we keep plugging away at it. In our personal lives, we keep plugging away at being loving. And in our church life, we keep plugging away of showing the world the love of God in Jesus Christ. And now, faith, hope, and God. Abide in these three. And the greatest of these is the love of God the Father, the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said at the Last Supper, "The Spirit abides with you and is with you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." And Jesus also said, "Those who eat of my flesh and drink of my blood abide in me, and I in them."